Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's the Underdog Podcast from SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty.
Football fans, welcome back to another episode of the Underdog Podcast, the home of P6 football at SB Nation's Underdog Dynasty. This is me, Joe Serpico. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Serp. On the other side of the mic is my man, Joey Broback. You can find at Joe Broback. What's good, dog?
We have lots to talk about.
Yes.
And you are fired up.
Yes, we do. So we are doing this episode of the podcast just, basically 20, 25 minutes after the release of the first college football playoff rankings. And while there is no P6 representative in the top four, there are four teams represented, more than the AAC, or excuse me, see, I've like programmed myself not to say ACC, more than the ACC, who only has two. But the one of those two that's in there didn't get in the top four, and that's what kind of blows my mind. So I guess, Joe, let's start with somehow, some way, the initial college football playoff rankings has two teams from the SEC and two teams from the Big Ten, and an undefeated reigning national champion is not in there. What is going on here?
Because last year has nothing to do with this year. So you should not consider how last year turned out when you're talking about this year's rankings. Plus, Clemson hasn't played anybody, so that's another aspect of it. Yeah, they played Texas. What?
Neither is Penn State.
Well, I guess if, yeah, so it's when we're talking about the four spot, I don't really care. The nice thing, though, is that Reese Davis said it. He goes, Clemson has the eye test, and that's about all they have going for them, which Clemson can thank UCF for that, because UCF was all it was all they have is the eye test. And now it's funny because Clemson, all they have is the eye test. I don't believe there's a ranked win on their schedule anymore, unless you look at.
But, okay, who's Penn State's best win? Michigan?
Really? Probably Pitt, who beat UCF, so that's a huge win. They beat Michigan. They also beat Iowa, who was ranked at the time. So I guess it depends on. I guess I'll ask you. Do you view that as, so at the time, Iowa was 18th and Michigan was 14th, and now
I don't think Iowa's any good.
Yeah, so I guess they're 18th still. Well, that's funny. I guess
I think so. I have the rankings in front of me. I think when you look between teams 12, we'll see how far they actually landed there. But let's say 14 and behind, I don't, you know, they're all about the same team. But I don't see them being contenders.
Yeah.
I don't see any way that Wisconsin sneaks back in there after what Ohio State did to them. Auburn, even Auburn, I'm not that crazy about. Like, Baylor is just, I mean, yeah, because they're undefeated, we still got to wait and see if they can actually go undefeated the rest of the way. And I don't know. I'm still waiting to see between, it's not just Clemson. I think even Oklahoma's getting a bit disrespected as well.
Well, and if that's another thing. So the first thing I'll say is, if you look at Penn State's two best wins, they're against two teams that are in the top 25. Clemson's best win is against a 5-3 Texas A&M team that's not in the top 25. So that's probably the biggest difference in why Penn State's fourth and Clemson's fifth. I get that they won the national championship last year, but you cannot factor that into your 2019 rankings, because if we're just going to use previous year results, then we might as well put Princeton in the playoff at this point. So there is that. The other thing is, apparently Oklahoma losing to Kansas State, who's 16th in the top 25, is a much worse loss than Georgia losing to South Carolina, who's 3-5 or 3-6, something like that. Yeah. So that doesn't make any sense to me. Granted, I bet you Georgia has better wins, but I don't know. The other thing that's kind of weird, you get kind of into dangerous territory, is you have two-loss teams in Florida and Auburn, and you put them in over two undefeated Power 5 teams in Minnesota and Baylor. I get that neither one of those teams has played anybody that great, but when you start justifying two losses over zero, you're kind of going into dangerous territory, and I don't like where that's headed.
I have no arguments with that.
Like, justifying wins should be more important than saying, oh, well, they lost to good teams. Well, if you have two losses, you can't justify, oh, they have two good losses versus you won out. And that was the same thing, you know, it's the thing that UCF was dealing with, and now it's two Power 5 teams. Granted, their toughest part of their schedules are coming up, but it's dangerous when you say two wins or two good losses is better than zero losses at all.
Okay, my question for you is, so this weekend, and I see you're in a little Twitter battle with one of my buddies here, so Penn State is playing Minnesota. Where's this game being played? I don't have
Minnesota. It's at Minnesota. It is that's the Minnesota. Only reason why I'm campaigning for it.
That's true, yes. That's why. Okay. So Minnesota right now is 17th. I mean, you give – that's what I'm really kind of blows my mind. So you're going to give the Big Ten the love. And don't get me wrong, I think Ohio State certainly deserves it, but I'm still not on the Penn State bandwagon yet. How high does this vault Minnesota if they get this win?
Well, I would hope that they would jump
– it would be in a – you know what I mean? Like – would have to jump a lot, especially these two-loss teams that you just talked about that already don't make sense that they're behind them.
Well, then they have Kansas State, Notre Dame, and Michigan also have two losses. Wisconsin has two losses. You would think they'd jump those four teams, beating the number – if you beat the number four team, you would have to jump those teams.
Yeah, but so my question is how high? Do they get into – so I think top 10 for sure. I think you have to do that.
Yeah,
So can you argue them being sandwiched in between 7 and 8? Like, do they jump that high?
Higher? Probably not. I think they would. I think 10th would probably be the highest they go, and it depends on. I don't know who Baylor plays this weekend, but if Baylor wins too, depending on who they play. But if you have an undefeated Minnesota team that hasn't. They don't have really a great win on their resume right now. But you add a win over the fourth best team in college football, that should move you up quite a bit. That should definitely move the needle. Baylor has a win over Kansas State, who's ranked. They were ranked at the time, and they're ranked again. And they play TCU this weekend, so you would think that a win over number four would be a better win than TCU. So I would say they should jump to 10th. Because you're saying, oh, a team that has a win over a playoff team is not as good as two teams that have two losses, but they lost to good teams. Like, you kind of lose me when you start saying, oh, we're going to justify losing now. Because, like, what's the point of winning if you're just going to let teams that lose well against good teams? Like, why are we rewarding losing?
I'm just kind of looking over the schedule here, and I think it's a little bit interesting. There's a lot of these teams in the top 25 are not playing this week. You think they purposely did that?
I don't know. That is weird. Like
Oregon and Utah both don't play. No, there's Oklahoma. Okay. Maybe I'm just overthinking that. I just didn't see Oregon and Utah, and I was thought that was a little iffy.
Yeah, it is interesting.
But I guess let's to bring it back to the American a little bit. So there are four teams in this initial top 25, and as of this point, it is Cincinnati that's in the driver's seat, according to these initial rankings, to represent the P6 in the NY6.
Well, here's my question, and I'm going to pull up their schedule now, but who did Cincinnati beat? They beat UCLA, Miami of Ohio, Marshall. Okay, they beat UCF, that's right. But, like, I don't know. I guess they're... Yeah, I guess I can see that. Their only loss is getting killed by Ohio State. But so far, everybody's getting killed by Ohio State. And mm-hmm. Memphis lost to Temple. So I'm not really, like, mad about that, considering they're only one spot away. I think the more interesting thing is that Navy is 24th ahead, and they're one spot ahead of SMU.
I agree with that.
Because who has Navy beat this year?
Nobody. I mean, you could make the same. I would argue that Cincinnati at least has something impressive on their resume. Navy does not whatsoever.
Yeah, like SMU's beat TCU. They have.
I think Navy's about to find, you know, now we're going to get to the stretch where Navy's got, okay, because now I just put up their schedule. They've got Notre Dame next, so that's sure to knock them down. Then they got SMU after that. Depending on what SMU does in the next 2 weeks, you know, that could move both of them up or down. Then Navy's got Houston, we'll talk about Houston a little bit later, but you never know what the hell you're going to get from Houston every week now. And then, of course, they're in the season with Army-Navy, which is their playoff game. I mean, I don't even know why we're talking about Navy in they got no shot of making a playoff game to begin with. That is their playoff game. Especially now, I believe, I was watching the Air Force-Army game this past week, and I think the winner of the Army-Navy game takes the Commander-in-Chief trophy this year, I think. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, who won? Didn't
Air Navy Force, Navy won. Navy won that one, and then Air Force won against Army.
So yeah, Well, what happens if Army wins that?
I don't know.
I'm not gonna get into it, but exactly. If Navy wins, they obviously win it because they beat Air Force. But
exactly. So that's where we're going with there. But yeah, interesting that Navy's in there, considering to get back into their schedule. What is their best win now?
That's what I'm looking at. Their best win is probably Tulane. Because they lost to Memphis. Mm-hmm. You could argue, with how Air Force is playing, you could say that's their best win. I'd probably go Air Force and then Tulane. Whereas, like, SMU, who's their best win? TCU?
Yeah.
It's a minor complaint.
You can't really call the loss to Memphis a bad loss either.
Not after watching last week.
That's what I mean.
Well, here's my question to you. Do you think that UCF is better than Navy right now?
If you ask me personally, I think UCF is better than all these P6 teams. I know the record doesn't show it, but...
You think UCF's better than Cincinnati still?
Yep.
Even though Cincinnati beat them?
Yep.
See, that's what's wrong with people.
Put them on a neutral field, see what happens.
Oh, my, here we go. You play your schedule. If you're good enough, if you're better than that team, you should actually beat them on the road. I don't care.
I understand that, but I still think the UCF's the best team in the conference. I'm allowed to say that.
No, you're not.
Why not?
It's not a sane podcast. Because I'm just not letting you say that.
They're going to roll through everybody they play right now.
Who's their remaining schedule? That's what I want to know.
I'll pull it up for you. 1 second. UCF.
You're just catering to my needs. I appreciate that.
They're going to beat up on Tulsa. They're going to beat up on Tulane, and they're going to smash USF.
Okay, well, that's not saying much. They are not. They might not even make the conference championship game.
No, I don't know. I do not think that they're going to get the help that they need for that.
No. I mean, I'm not... That doesn't necessarily mean that they're not the best team, but they legitimately might... Because here's the thing. Cincinnati has to lose twice in the next month. They have four games left. They're not losing to UConn.
No, Cincy's schedule is cake.
Until they play Temple and Memphis to end the year. But even then, if they... They'd have to lose twice.
I don't see Temple going into Cincinnati and getting a win. Temple on the road is not good.
No.
For lack of better words.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll say that Cincinnati's the better team right now. That's what I believe because I have the evidence to prove it. And if they lose out, I really hope they don't. Although I'm all on board for UCF Memphis Part 3.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Or Part 5, whatever you want to call it, but
will not happen.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the most entertaining conference championship game matchup that we can have in this conference? Is it UCF Memphis?
No. I would still rather see UCF and SMU. I know SMU just lost to Memphis.
What games are you watching?
I'm watching the same games.
Memphis just scored 54 points. What more do you need?
But it's SMU just scored what, 46?
48,
whatever it was, on the road?
Yeah.
All right.
They gave up 54.
So what?
You don't want to see a team that's...
Temple beat Memphis. I mean, we could go all around the circle here. Temple beat Memphis. Memphis or SMU smashed Temple. Like, I still think that UCF is the best in the East and SMU is the best in the West. Now, obviously, it doesn't look like they're going to play in that conference championship game, but I still think this season those are the two best teams.
Which that really sucks for SMU. Because given how they were playing, and like you said, yeah, they scored 48 points on the road, which I don't think we talk enough about that. Like, that's incredible. And granted, they gave up 54, which is concerning, but that offense just was running on all cylinders, and now it feels like they take a step back because they lost to Memphis, a team that lost to Temple. And honestly, it just feels like we're due for more chaos in this conference, and I don't know how it ought to feel about that.
Well, so that's... What could be the thing that honestly keeps this conference out of the NY6? And let's say if Boise sitting there at 22 lets them sneak in there, because we could have, let's say that somehow Cincinnati does lose one of these games that's upcoming this week, or Cincinnati knocks off Memphis, but then Temple's in there, you know what I mean? And they mess some things up. And then, who knows, maybe somehow UCF sneaks back in this top 25. I'm curious to see where they're at, and if they're receiving votes in the national. I guess those polls don't matter anymore, right?
The AP poll. Yeah, that's what I told someone the other day. I said,
I guess they really don't matter anymore.
If you're having a bad day, just remember that there are people that still vote in the AP poll that doesn't matter. It literally means nothing.
Where are they? Because I usually do actually look at those. But they did not pop up because now they don't matter anymore, I guess.
They didn't show up? Not even on ESPN? Oh, here we go. AP poll. Week 11. UCF is technically 26. They have 52 votes going into...
26. Okay, so they're sitting right outside.
Yeah, so they're in position still.
So next week they'll be in, pretty much.
Most likely.
After they, let's see, now that I got to pull up this week's schedule again, who do they got this week? Oh, Tulsa. They'll smash Tulsa. So they'll sneak in there. But yeah, at the same time, I mean, Cincinnati this week is playing UConn. We can't see. So if anything, Cincinnati's probably going to go up. SMU's playing ECU. If anything, they're going to go up. UCF, same deal.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we just did all next week. Are we podcast over?
Yeah. And thank you for listening. Just kidding. No.
Nah, we'll dive into them for real in a little bit. But, yeah, so UCF sitting right on the outside of that there. So maybe by next week when we're talking about this, honestly, we might be talking about, what, five teams in there?
Yeah.
There's a couple of these teams have active. This week there's only four games, so. A lot of bye weeks this week. Curious if there's a reasoning for that.
Who knows? All I know is I wish that college football could have a tip-off. Well, it'd be a kickoff week, just like the college basketball season is having right now. I know that it's a unique thing to have 1, 2, 3, and 4 playing on the same night, but how sweet would it be if you had, you know, this is the top four now, but you have Ohio State and LSU starting the season, and then Alabama and, we'll say, Clemson to not get you too worked up about Penn State. If they played week one, how sweet would that be?
Well, to switch it back to what is this top four here, you're going to see that. One this week and one in a couple weeks.
Yep.
Now, I would love to see that in a week one to bring for your argument. Hell yeah, that would be awesome to see more. Now, just because I'm not exactly sure how the scheduling works, because this is like a tournament, right? What they're playing tonight?
No, I think it's just two games.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, I don't think it's a tournament at all.
Oh, okay. I thought this was like a tournament that, like, you know, because the tournament stuff looks like it's like the new, like, trend to do in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And I feel like they are not like, I don't know, not like college football. You know, you have those things planned years in advance. I feel like those tournaments are like literally made like a year or two in advance. Like, these things are all kind of brand new, honestly.
Right.
And so, like, you really don't know who you're playing up until, well, maybe a year or two before that.
Right.
It's very different. So I feel like they didn't even know that in the rankings it was going to be these top four teams all going at it, and it just sort of
happened to work out that way.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's awesome, don't get me wrong, but yeah, you'll never see it in football just because of the implications of what one loss means. In basketball, it's completely different.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah. And the top teams aren't going to do that early in the year, although they should, because losing early apparently means it doesn't mean as much than losing later in the season. So why not?
That is true, because if you lose these games later on in the year, it's fresher in the mind as opposed to these games at the end in the beginning of the season that are kind of almost forgotten about, or you can make the argument that you've gotten better since. And that's the argument, obviously, that basketball is using. Oh, we're a way better team than we were in November. And I mean, it's true, especially for a lot of those teams that are loaded with one and done, your Kentuckys and your, and now Duke is like that as well. So yeah, that argument does make sense, but for football wise, we'll never see that.
Yeah. Mostly just because of scheduling.
You'll be hard pressed to see Alabama ever schedule Clemson. At least maybe once one of them starts to trend downward, but at least for the next, you know, say 5-10 years, that is not happening anytime soon.
Right, and Alabama scheduled Texas, but Texas is not back, despite what everybody says.
Because I have it from, like, you're not going to see Alabama schedule Ohio State. It's just not happening.
No, it'll never happen.
Ohio State is not going to schedule Florida or even Oklahoma. Like, I don't see those games happening anytime soon.
Right.
Even if you want to go out west, Ohio State will not play, or even Alabama, I don't think will play, say, Oregon. For Ohio State, the argument would be if they're going to play Oregon, they can play them in the Rose Bowl. That's the potential there. If Alabama, I think the one thing we've noticed about Alabama is they really don't like to travel.
Well, they don't have to because everybody wants to play them.
Well, touche. But like,
but yeah,
now and then, you know, take a game out west, play USC. For, you know, right now, that would be a cash game for USC.
Right.
But go out there. take your boys out to sunny California and go beat up on those guys.
Yep.
But Alabama's got a lot more to lose.
It would just be so much more fun. I mean, I know it's not that simple. It's not a concept that you can just say, let's just do this, and okay, it works that way. But, it would just be so much more entertainment.
So an idea that just came into mind. So if we are not seeing, like, the NFL has preseason. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know if it necessarily you can do this in college football, but do like a scrimmage right before the season starts that gets televised, that will make money for everybody involved. That way everybody gets their piece of the pie. But that's how you have Alabama play, say, Oregon. In a game that doesn't necessarily matter. Right before in that week, the week before is, we have that week zero where it's like four games there, which doesn't make any sense. Have a scrimmage game there that makes money for all people. Networks, programs. No?
Maybe.
Not like my idea.
I like your idea. I like a lot of what you say.
Just floating that idea out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of money out there.
There's a bazillion things out there you can do to make more money.
Well, that's true, but it's tough from from the fans' perspective of what they want to see because, for all the people that are getting excited about Alabama LSU this weekend, which that is going to be an insane game, but for all those people getting excited about it, like, imagine that in week one and how excited people get in the first week for it, like the excitement for football, college football to be back or just football season in general is unmatched by any other sport. I don't care what anybody says, just because a majority of people aren't loving baseball season just because it drags out for so long. So they've been with one sport for most of the summer and then football comes back. So now imagine you have teams 2 and 3 playing. So it's not that simple, but I want it to be. And if not, I'll settle for the NCAA game to come back out for Xbox and PlayStation, and I'll create those matchups on my own.
Sooner rather than later, EA Sports.
Yes, please.
What are you guys waiting for?
Sponsor us. We'll play that. We'll do a live podcast every week so we can play each other. I don't care. I'll do whatever.
Yeah. I'm more looking forward to playing like an online dynasty against like you and a bunch of other people.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
you
all
can
I'm
already
really
count me in.
I'll take Temple to a national championship, baby.
You, me, Eric, Joe, Cyrus, Jared, Mike, don't care.
It'll take what? You got eight to ten already right there.
Right, exactly. And you can just give me the championship right now.
Yeah, okay. The best part about that will be, and I'm curious to see how they do it, and not to go too far down the rabbit hole, but it's like my favorite part of playing the game was always the recruiting part. I don't know about you.
Recruiting's fun.
Yeah. I mean, obviously playing the game is fun, but like the recruiting part, making at least so like I always played, like I said, with Temple. So in the game, they're pretty booty. So like I had to make them be able to recruit like the big guy. So it takes years.
It's the grind, man. I love the grind of the first year. You might get like a few 3 stars to commit you to your team. You mm-hmm. might get lucky and get a 4-star or 5-star, but yeah, just the grind of getting to that point where 5 stars are like, okay, you're tops on my list. And that doesn't happen just by, mindlessly going through the game. But yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. I realized a long time ago, the cheat, at least in 14, is to go after the athletes.
Yep.
Go after them first.
Yep.
All right. Anything else you want to say about the playoff rankings before we get started on week 11?
No, it's just we're getting closer and closer to the actual playoff. And while that is sad, there's a lot of anticipation and a lot of pressure building on some of these teams, especially the undefeated teams.
Yep. 2 big games this weekend between undefeated, too. I know you want to really keep harping on Minnesota getting some love, so.
Dude, PJ Fleck, row the boat for another 9 years or whatever, 7 years. 2026. Now he's not going to stay that long, but row the boat, man.
Why not? Going to take them to the glory days. Where else are you going to go?
I hope so. I don't know. Yeah. Well, there was someone who said Florida State, but like...
that dumpster fire right now.
Well, that's the other thing is like, it's a disaster there, but like, someone said there's not a good fit. Well, yeah, anybody that needs a job, there's a good fit. Like, any of these coaches that are up and coming, like, they're going to be a good fit because they're a good coach that's looking for a job, and Florida State has a job, so whatever. People overthink it.
Let them stay in Minnesota.
I agree. I don't want... Yeah.
Beat Penn State forever. Bums.
Exactly. You want another underdog that's in a Power 5 conference? Minnesota Gophers.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, let's move to week 11. Only four games this week, like I said earlier. And... they take place on one on Thursday, one on Friday, and two of them on Saturdays. One of them Vegas has as a close line. The rest are kind of expected to be blowouts. The Thursday night game is my alma mater's Temple Owls taking on USF. If you want to watch that game, it is at 8 o'clock on ESPN. Temple is a 1.5. or 2-point favorite, depending on what site you're looking at. I personally think, I don't know about you, but I personally think that Temple, they're not going to run away with this game, I don't think, but they'll win this game, no problem.
Yeah, we haven't seen much from USF other than, like, Jordan Cronkite, you know, so... it's not...
He is the team.
Right, so I'm not expecting them to just all of a sudden... you know, wake up and their whole team plays better. Granted, they still have a chance to win the East. If they win out, they play three teams that are, they're either tied with them or those teams are above them. So if they win out, they give themselves a good chance. It's not happening, but...
Oh, okay. Wow. We both jinx.
It's just... I don't know what else. I don't have any more to say other than that's not happening. Temple's not going to run. I agree. Temple's probably not going to run away with this, but it's not like I'm going to be worried about.
I just think Temple's going to demolish them on both sides of the ball in the trenches.
Yeah.
I think USF is really bad off, especially their offensive line. Their offensive line is terrible.
Yeah,
I mean, it's basically just Cronkite running for his life the whole time. And I was amazed because I haven't been really paying attention to the Bulls this season. But the receiving numbers this year, oh, my God. They don't have a single guy over 300 yards receiving or over 20 catches.
Yeah, their quarterback play has been inconsistent and not, like, just from a performance standpoint. But
we're nine games in. Like, you would think somebody would have 20 receptions.
Yeah. It's been bad, and injuries have affected them too. So that's another thing that's hard for them. But they're just not a good team right now. There's just no way to put it. They've never been a good team this year. Like that much we've warned people about. You can choose to listen to our factual statements, or you can just choose to not listen to us. We don't hate your team. We're just telling you how it is.
Well, no, I guess they both had kind of the little bit of a layoff there, but one's kind of on a little bit of a high. USF has won three of the last four, while Temple has lost their last two, and they've got pounded in those last two. So I think, I don't know, maybe that's an evening factor here. Maybe USF is feeling a little bit better about themselves than Temple is right now. But like I said, I just think Temple up front on both sides of the ball is just stronger right now, and they're just going to play big boy football and knock them around. And I don't know. I don't know if you're with me on this, but I still think that Charlie Strong, even if they somehow get into a bowl game, which I really can't see that coming, but even if they somehow do, I still think, you know, he's kind of a little bit on the hot seat.
Oh yeah. I definitely agree with that. And then you put Philip Montgomery from Tulsa on that too. I don't know, is anybody else really on the hot seat? Everybody's kind of new or good, so those are probably the two.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah, those are definitely the two, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta feel bad for Tulsa just because, or Montgomery, I guess, just because I feel like he loses every game by a touchdown.
Well, yeah, we were talking last week, he's lost 27 games in his tenure, and
another one this past week.
The 28, yeah, and 13 of them have been by single digits. That's just that has to be so frustrating for him and his team.
Yep. And they always seem to be in those games, and they just don't seem to manage to be on the right side of it.
Well, and this team seems like they're way better than they were last year, but their record might not indicate that, which is weird.
Let's get into them a little bit more. So they play UCF on Friday night. That game is at 7 o'clock on ESPN2. The Knights are a 17-point favorite. So I don't think either one of us thinks that this will be one of those games where they keep it in that single-digit mark. But, yeah, for Montgomery, I guess that's the argument when he goes to talk to, you know, the school president and the athletic director when it's all said and done, and be like, look, we're almost there. Like, and I mean, I guess he can also argue that the West this year is just so good. So maybe he needs a little bit more, you know, maybe he can go to the presidents and whatnot and be like, I need a little bit more to get us over the hump. Because they are right there. Like, they're just a piece or two away from being a legitimate contender and, you know, literally making that entire West be strong.
Yeah, you can go both ways with that, because you could make the argument you just said where Montgomery says, look, here's what I can tell you. We're not getting worse. We just are struggling to win those close games. And that's, are you okay? Did you fall over?
Sorry, everything fell over on my desk, though.
Oh, my gosh. Chaos. Well, anyways, now that we know you're okay, it's like you said, you can make the argument that, hey, we're not getting worse. We're in these games. We just have to find a way to win them. But at the same time, you could say, yeah, we're not getting worse, but we haven't found ways to win these close games. And like, they're not winning any of them. That's the hard part to justify, is like, they're not winning these games. The consistent losing is kind of a concern, and you're going to be heading into year five by that point. So I don't know. Are you going to find someone that's better than Montgomery that can win in Tulsa? I don't know. And like I said, this is definitely a better team, but the record might not indicate that.
Just to go through Tulsa's schedule this year, and then I'll make quick comment. All right, so they opened the season up with Michigan State, who was ranked to start the season. Did lose 28-7. As Michigan State, I don't even know what their record is right now.
Well, and Tulsa shot themselves in the foot the first half. If they don't play like the worst half of football, that game's closer.
Yes. All right, so then they beat San Jose State, who surprisingly is a lot better than I thought they would be this season.
Mm-hmm.
They are in the game for most of the time against Oklahoma State.
They're winning at halftime.
Yes, exactly. Oklahoma State actually, Oklahoma State busted that score open with a late, ridiculous touchdown that didn't matter. Beat Wyoming, who is another team in the Mountain West that is actually been pretty solid this season.
Yeah, they're 6-2.
Mm-hmm. Held their own against SMU, who up until this past week was undefeated. I guess the one really bad one was getting blown out against Navy at home. Hold your own against Cincinnati. Should have beat Tulsa. I mean, if your field goal kicker can make a chip shot, you win that game. And then in the game, pretty much throughout the game against Tulane this past week. So they are in every single game. It's not that's why you almost got to feel bad for the guy. Just because at some point he's got to be on the right side. Now, it won't be this week against UCF. And it won't.
Are they going to win? That's what I was going to say. Look at their schedule.
They're
going
to be against Houston. And then that ECU game on the road. I don't know. Because I was a little bit impressed by what ECU did this past week against Cincinnati. So.
Yeah, you never know.
So, you do never know. But, yeah, for as far as this week goes. From what we have seen from the Knights, they look like they are angry, and they are going to keep taking it out this week on Tulsa. All right, under those Saturday games, again, two games with should be huge blowouts. Let's just be honest. SMU takes on East Carolina. That game's on ESPNU at noon. Mustangs are a 22-point favorite. And, yeah, that seems pretty fitting. I think three touchdowns or a little bit more than that is pretty accurate. I might have just said that. I liked what I saw from ECU last week against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's defense has been pretty solid all season long. But this is going to be the week now that SMU plays pretty mad, for lack of better words, and just pummels ECU, because now they need to put up some style points to, they're still in the discussion for a New Year's Six Bowl, so they still want to get into that discussion as well.
Yeah, and it's one of those, they'll play motivated and they'll come back and get a solid win after a disappointing loss, but you can also see it going the other way and them kind of having a hangover after a tough loss, but I don't think we see that. We could see 100 passes between Bushell and Holton Ehlers. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I think that's actually going to happen, to be honest.
I would be surprised if it didn't.
And then the week wraps up with UConn on the road against Cincinnati. The Bearcats are a 35-point favorite. If you want to watch that beatdown, it's at 3:30 on CBS Sports Network. And it's, what, how many more weeks do we have with UConn in the conference? Three?
Three
more weeks. They've got three more games.
Three more games. We never have to talk about them again.
They will lose to Cincinnati. They will get ECU. Do you think they got to get one win in this conference before they get out?
No, I don't see that happening. I don't see how ECU is way better than UConn is. Like, they've actually made some improvements, whereas UConn's done nothing. Also, I believe ECU can still make a bowl game. It's going to be hard, but they can still make a bowl game.
Pull that schedule up then, just because you said that.
It's going to be difficult. They play...
Well, they got to beat SMU. That's the big one.
And it's not going to, it doesn't get easier. That's right. They have UConn, so that's,
I guess it's Tulsa.
Yeah, so it doesn't get easier after this week's not easy, but after that, it's looking pretty
easy. It's as easy as it gets, at least for this conference.
Yep.
So, yeah, that wraps up what's ahead for week 11, right? Am I right about that? These numbers I never get right. Yes,
week 11. And then, yeah, because the NFL's 1 week behind, and that always throws me off.
Yep, same here. That's why I'm always want to make sure I'm right when I say these numbers. But, yeah, just four games this week. Next week we're going to get back into, I think, it's, no, even next week is only four games, which is, I don't know, strange. I don't remember this last year, a bunch of four.
Yeah, I thought we always had at five or six games.
Yeah, mostly six, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I guess a lot of bye weeks at the end of the season, which seems kind of strange to me. But at this point, what's the point of having a bye? The season's almost over.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess on that note, we can wrap up this episode of the Underdog Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, however you listen to the podcast. Make sure you leave us some kind of review. We would greatly appreciate that. Listen to our guys that are doing the Conference USA podcast. And also now we finally got a Sun Belt podcast up and running as well. So that was great news to see. But until next time, thanks for listening to our Joe Talk.